Stories, fables, ghostly tales.
There he is, Jimmy.
I see him.
It's sad to see you outside, Minden. Not in this crummy joint.
Me and the boys, we wanted to see if you had guts enough to come in.
I got guts for that. And for telling you to stay away from Marva. Get that? Stay away.
Or else?
You heard me. You know what I mean.
Yeah, you mean this. That damn, haul a monkey into the back room. I'll be in a minute. As soon as I can find a pool cue hard enough to operate on him with.
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear Plug Ugly, starring Edmund Ryan. Now, Crime Does Not Pay, starring Edmund Ryan as Jimmy Minden in Plug Ugly. It was the kind of neighborhood a lot of people stayed away from. The main street was crowded with stores where the shoddy merchandise lay in windows lit by naked electric bulbs. People jostled one another on the sidewalks, dashed across the street, daring the traffic to run them down, or so it seemed. The side streets were ominous in their quiet darkness when the night hid the scarred, twisted houses and the few lampposts barely impressed themselves on the gloom. Those lampposts were important. They were the meeting places for the boys and some of the girls, where plans were made before the groups descended on nearby bars, candy stores, and pool parlors, or upon the occasional party run by one of the speciously named social clubs. To one of those parties, Jimmy Minden led his pals, Bat Sprague and Ham Gridley. They walked into the cellar meeting place and surveyed the scene.
Well, quite a mob.
Oh, the Eagle Scout ticketing.
Or else.
Yeah, they do all right with the dames, too.
Oh, yeah. I heard Pugsy and the boys carry razor blades in a hatband, and the dames know it.
You think that one knows it, fellas?
Which one, Jimmy?
The blonde dancing with Pugsy, the kid himself.
Hey, look out for that one, Jimmy.
Pugsy hung her hands-off sign on her a long time ago.
Know the name?
Oh, yeah. She went to high school with me. Until I got canned out. When I knew her, she was Mary Down. All of a sudden now, she's Marva Dowling.
Yeah, courtesy of the copyright owner. I do mean owner.
How come you guys know so much about this deal?
Well, we grew up around here. You only moved here.
Wrong line, Ham. I moved in here.
Yeah, sure looks like it up to now.
And from now on, here I go, fellas.
Hey, Jimmy, don't do it. Stay away from us, Jimmy.
Stay here, Marva, baby. I gotta see a fella a minute.
Oh, always you gotta see a fella.
I wouldn't leave you around, Luce, like that.
No, why not, handsome?
Maybe I know something good first time I see it.
Oh, one of those. Smart.
Could be.
How smart?
Smart enough to know you're Marva Dowling.
That needs brains in this neighborhood. Look, Bright Eyes, I got a fella.
A fella? Pugsy Jetto, are you kidding?
Oh, so you know that, too.
I make it my business to know the works before I move in on anything.
And anything includes?
Territory, a racket, or a dame.
Stay the line, Jack. Me and Marva here, we heard it all before.
The name is Jimmy, Jimmy Minden. I'm sure Marva hasn't heard the line before, or she'd have dumped you long ago. Dance, baby?
That could be dangerous, Minden.
Do I have to have permission in writing?
Which you'll never get.
I said, dance, baby. The music's wasting.
Well, I don't know.
Take your paw off of her.
Mustn't lose a jet-o temper.
I said leave her go.
Oh, Pugsy, please. Now, don't make a scene.
In other words, the babe wants to dance with me. She knows something good when she sees it, same as I do.
How'd you like to wear your skull like mashed potatoes?
I'd prefer French fries myself.
For the last time, leave go her arm.
It's a nice arm, well built, all of her.
Shut up, Louse. I'm going to take care of you.
Anytime, any place, right now even. You can try.
Where?
Outside the pool parlor, 15 minutes.
I'll be there. Stick around, Marva. I won't be long.
Yeah, stick around, Marva. It'll take me less time than Pugsy. A lot less time. That's a promise. Okay, Bat, Pam, you understand the deal?
Yeah, nothing new except bug. Number 5 in the side pocket.
We got you, Jimmy. How you gonna make a bet? With a Ouija board?
No, with my little cue, I done it. And I...
Here he is, Jimmy.
I see.
Bad, see you outside, Minden, not in this crummy joint.
Me and the boys, we wanted to see if you had guts enough to come in.
I got guts for that. And for telling you to stay away from Marva. Get that? Stay away.
R.L.?
You heard me. You know what I mean.
Yeah, you mean...
This.
Bat, Pam, call him the monkey in the back room. I'll be along in a minute. As soon as I can find a pool cue hard enough to operate on him with.
You'll never get away with this. I'll have you run right out of
that. Shut up.
You're doing nothing.
Yeah. You're maybe scramming yourself.
Okay, fellas, hold him.
Why don't you fight fair? Because you know I can lick you fair.
Save your breath, stupid. You're going to need it for yelling.
Let me go. Will you? Oh, my arm. My arm.
That's the talking fresh to the new boss, see? Yeah. And this is for trying to keep the dame to yourself. For treating newcomers like dirt. For trying to keep the candy store racket for yourself. Collecting from my pool rooms.
Jimmy. Lay off. Yeah, you'll kill him. Cut it out.
They're all alike. No fight. Maybe you ought to knock him off. Teach him a lesson.
Look, he a mess.
Yeah, that's the lesson. You ain't even mussed your hair, Jimmy.
I couldn't do that, boys. I gotta go back to the party and pick up Marva. From here on, I own the copyright. Hey, Marva.
Uh-huh?
I ain't asking a couple of months. Like being my girl?
I'd be a dope if I didn't. You know how to treat a girl, Jimmy.
Like the car?
Convertibles with tops down do something to me, darling.
Wonder what the guy I borrowed this one from is doing tonight.
Oh, Jimmy, you didn't take this one, too.
Why not? I always test my used car before I turn them over to my dealers.
Jimmy.
Yeah, baby.
Jimmy, you're smart. Not like Pugsy. He was too tough.
Not tough enough. He's getting out of the hospital next week. Boy, oh boy. Give me the business end of a pool cue anytime. 3 months in the ward. So I'm smart, baby. So what?
So, why the racket?
Why not? A smart cookie always does good in the racket.
You don't own your own car yet.
I will. I got plans. I've been making contacts. Look, kid. A long time ago, I watched my old man work himself to death. Janitor in a crummy tenement. Hot water, cold water, fix the pipes. Ma, clean the upstairs hall. Me, I figure, that's for the birds. What I want, I see in the pictures in the paper, convertibles, blondes with fur pieces. Blondes like you, baby, well built.
Blondes like me get more expensive as we get a little older.
Yeah, and smarter. Don't you worry, sister. Like I said, I got plans. I got contacts. I'm using them. I'm going to be in the big time. Meantime, baby, I still got my right arm.
Say, Pugsy, Jimmy.
He got out yesterday.
What do I want to see that bum for?
Oh, nothing. We just thought maybe you'd like to see how the docs fixed him up.
How?
His right arm still in a sling. He keeps walking like he's walking. They're going to change his name to Gimpy.
Yeah, oh, brother's here for a mess.
Hold it, fellas. Yeah?
I want to talk to Minden.
Who wants Minden?
I do. Jocko Conway.
Jocko Conway.
Jocko, the big boy.
David. This is Jimmy Minden, Mr. Conway.
You're the lad who did the job on Pugsy Jetta, aren't you?
Yes, sir. Have you seen him?
I have. Want an assignment from me, Minden?
What kind?
Oh, nothing too hard, nothing too simple. There's a character with a big mouth. Name of Larry Alton.
The last of the Alton brothers.
You know about them?
And about you too, Mr. Conway. I know my business.
I want Alton's mouth shut. Tight.
Permanent?
Possibly. And Minden, dead men do tell tales.
Not out of line, Pitch, they don't.
Make good on this deal, and there'll be more. Might even get a contract.
How much by the piece?
Half a G, this time.
That all?
Yeah, I don't bargain. Take it or suit yourself.
You got a deal.
Need a finger?
I know my business. Like I said, I can find Alton.
Okay, go to it. And soon, I'll contact you.
So what's funny?
Nothing special. We just got an assignment, fellas. Now we're really in business.
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with Plug Ugly. Now we continue with Crime Does Not Pay, starring Edmund Ryan as Jimmy Minden in Plug Ugly. Jimmy was determined that his first big assignment from up above would be taken care of with both dispatch and finesse. Although Jimmy didn't use those words, he did have a plan. And part of his plan brought a touch of dissension among his cohorts. In fact, Vats was quite indignant about the whole deal.
What do you want to do that for, Jimmy? It's poison, I tell you.
Yeah, James is always poison.
Not this one.
Look, we can do a nice, quiet, neat job, see? We get the lime pit ready the day before in the cellar of my house. We have the quick lime all set. We bring the sucker down there, knock him off, dump him in the pit. And then we re-cement the floor like nothing was there.
Yeah, like nothing, except new cement. The cops had spotted a mile. They even got tests for different kinds of sand and cement.
I didn't know that.
Lots of things you don't know, both of you. Now, look, I got a spot all picked out in the woods, 10 miles out of the city. No house in sight. We dig a hole, use the lime, then we put back the bushes like they ain't never been touched. Nobody will find Alton that way.
Okay, okay, but what's that got to do with the dame?
The dame's camouflage, fellas. It's going to be perfect, and when I tell Conway how it worked, we'll get our contract.
I still don't see why we got to use the dame.
Get it, will you, Bats? That's her, she's due.
Okay, if you say so. Bats making sense for once, Jimmy.
Hello, Bats. Jimmy here?
Yeah. Come on in.
Oh, gee. Not a very warm welcome, I must say. I thought we were pals, Bats.
Yeah, we were, all right.
Hi, Jimmy. Ma'am.
Hi.
You're looking swell, baby, and expensive.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Sit down, kid.
Thanks. We got a convention?
Business conference.
Yeah, we got our first assignment from the big mob. And Jimmy thinks maybe you want to work with us.
Me? This is news.
It's up to you, baby.
What's in it for me?
A C-note.
All of that for me?
It's a beginning, kid. 20% of the whole fee for this job.
What's all this about the big mob?
Huh. Women. They gotta know everything.
Oh, shut up, will you?
It's a fact, Marv. I had a call. They want us to take care of a character for them.
What do I do? Put the finger on him?
Nah, you don't even know him.
What then?
Will you do it?
Figging a poke?
For $100. Now, look, baby, you don't have to if you don't want to. But if you decide no, then it'll be better if you don't know anything at all about the job.
Oh, you're smart, Jimmy. Count me in. What's the pitch, boy?
Swell. Now, here's how it goes. We get a car, see? That's the first thing.
What's keeping him, Jimmy?
Take it easy, kid. He'll be along. I've been watching him close. He always comes this way around this time of night.
Somebody turned in the corner, Jimmy.
That's him. Get him, fellas.
You're Larry Osmond.
What if I am? We come with a car.
Yeah, I thought maybe you'd like to take a little ride.
I see. Conway. Who's he?
Want to get in the car?
Do I have any choice?
No, not much. All right, in you go. Sit in the middle.
Yes, I know the routine. You never figured it for yourself, though. Something new has been added. A dame on a job like this.
Shut up.
Why? Until you shut me up, that is.
Talk won't get you nothing.
What is this, a shakedown?
Hardly, Alton. We're not interested in dough.
That's new, too.
Yeah, it's all new, including us.
You know, my boys will take care of all of you.
That's what you think.
You and Conway and his whole mob.
Most of them will join with Conway. Those that don't, we'll take care of.
Got it all figured, youngster?
All of it. Including the contract we're going to get for doing a nice, neat job on you.
Gee, it's awful quiet out here.
Not so quiet like it's going to be for our Mr. Alton in the back there.
Let me make a deal, fellas. Let me make a deal.
No deals. You couldn't pay off half what this is going to mean to us.
Hey, Jimmy.
Let the man say his prayers.
Go on, say them. You heard the boss.
No prayers. I just wish I'd had sense enough not to walk in this town alone. And as for you, plug ugly.
Okay, fellas. Take care of them.
Prowl car, Jimmy. I can see the police sign on top in our mirror.
In the act, baby. One squint at us necking and the dope in that prowl car won't think twice. Oh,
Jimmy, you're terrific. Just like you figured it.
I know what I'm doing.
Help!
Look out. Don't let him bite your hand. Over his mouth, Ham.
Hey, Jimmy, I stopped him with the stairs cord around his neck.
Get him down on the floor of the car. That's the ice pick.
It's working, boss.
Marla, kiss me quick with gestures.
Oh, baby. Oh, Jimmy, baby.
Keep it up there looking at us.
Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. Kiss me again. Again.
I do all right, eh, Jimmy? Okay in the back there?
Yeah, dead fish. Not one blood spot as far as I can see.
Good. Here we go. Sit over there, sister. I've got to keep my mind on my driving.
Where to, boss?
You know where. That hole in the ground and the quick lime we set up yesterday. Fellas? Have we got a system, or have we got a system?
Oh, it's you.
Sure is. Who are we expecting, Pugsy or Larry Alton's ghost?
Don't try to be funny, you're not.
Hey, the name is Jimmy. Jimmy Minden, remember?
How could I forget?
You got something there. Everything in this place reminds you of me, hey? From the couch to the view to the drapes to the pictures.
Yeah, even the closet.
What's the matter, baby? I'm not making enough for you? You ain't living like you want?
You're making enough for me.
Know something?
I know a lot of things.
This you don't know. I was called. Me. I got called today.
By the army?
No, by the cops.
They know something?
They wanted to know something. They're investigating the disappearance of Larry Alton.
After 3 months, they're investigating?
Yeah, so they get polite, see? What do I know about it? So I told them. 3 months ago, I was just another guy. What would I know?
To which the brave policeman replied...
That was why they were asking me. On account of maybe my sudden wealth had something to do with old Alton.
They're not so dumb, are they?
I told them from nothing. Bass and Hamill with me. They kept the trap shut naturally.
Naturally?
So then I offered them my cooperation, like the big shots do. And we left. Walked out of the precinct like we owned it.
Don't you? I thought you owned everything in the district.
Hey, what's eating you, baby?
Nothing. Just nothing. And maybe something.
Let's have it, sister.
You can have it. When its name is Josie.
Josie, the redhead. You're a blonde. No competition.
I could be that kind of redhead, too.
Yeah, I said no competition.
I heard you. I say it, too. You want to play with me? We don't let no other kids in the sand pile.
You say so? It must be so.
Right, the first time.
That's just a sample, baby.
You dirty, rotten, double cry.
Get this straight, sister. You don't own me. It works the other way around. Now you stay in this apartment, see, and you keep your nose out of my affairs. On account of if you don't, Ham and Bats will pay you a little visit with pool cues. And they'll do to your face what I did to Pugsy's arms and legs. You got me? So long, sister. See you after a while. When I feel like it.
It's open. Come on in.
Nothing to say, Pugsy.
What do you want me to say? I'm glad to see you. You're wearing a real pretty shiner.
Okay, okay. Rub it in.
What do you want from your old pal, Gimpy?
Maybe misery loves company.
What did he do? Ditch you after beating you up?
The ditching came first. For a redhead. Name of Josie.
Yeah, I know the dame. A real no good. What do you want, Marvin?
Same thing you want.
Sure, sure. It'd be a pleasure to shove a shiv into his guts and twist it. Just to hear him holler.
What would that get us? Except the licking from Bats and Ham and the chair on top of it.
I know that. Maybe that's why I didn't give it to him. Maybe I've been waiting for a better way.
I thought maybe you'd have an idea.
I got 'em. Like a lot of 'em. Nothing to do but sit around and think. I got ideas. I need something to start from. So somebody else can take care of him for me. For us.
Maybe I can give you something to start from.
You can... Well, what do you know? You know, start talking, Marva. Maybe you have got something.
What's the laugh?
It just hit me. Black in the dame's eye is no way to shut her mouth.
Fellas, ever think we'd see the inside of a station house so many times by invitation?
Yeah, twice is enough.
What do you want from us?
Grow up, fellas. We're big time now. We get invitations. Mr. Menden, this is Lieutenant Beatty. I wonder if you'd mind dropping in to see me sometime today.
Oh, brother!
When I told Josie, she laughed so hard, I thought she...
Mr. Menden, will you come in, please?
Sure, sure, Lieutenant. Let's go, fellas.
I don't like it. I don't like nothing about this point.
Me neither. Don't feel right.
Here, forget it. They're still investigating. I say, ain't it, Lieutenant?
Yeah, isn't it?
What's on your mind, Lieutenant?
Larry Alton.
You mean you haven't found him yet?
Not until early this morning.
Well, well, well. Power of the law. Where was he holed up?
Holed up is right, what was left of him.
And you called me because you thought I'd be interested. That was real neighborly of you, Lieutenant.
Yeah, wasn't it? As a matter of fact, I called you because I think you put him in that hole and the lime after him.
Oh, you do? Where do you get your ideas, Lieutenant?
From the horse's mouth, mister. From somebody who was there. Come in here, you two.
I told them not to.
Shut up, Ham. Shut up.
He's the men, Miss Dowling.
Yeah. He planned it and they did it, like I told you.
Have I been waiting for this?
For your information, Lieutenant, I never saw these people in my life before.
Save it for the jury, Minden. You're under arrest. The charge is murder, and you won't wriggle out of this one.
A prowl car that passed you made a record of your license plate routine. The girl was there and took us straight to Alton's grave. And your pal Jetto here has been saving information, too.
A dame, a lousy dame. Let me get my hands
on you. No, you don't. Stay where you are. Stay where you are, all of you, now. We shoot straight in this precinct.
All right.
That's better. All right, lock them up, boys. First degree homicide for the three mugs, including the one on the floor. Protective custody for Jetto, material witness for the woman. And unless I miss my guess, when this plug ugly starts talking, even Jocko Conway is going for a one-way ride. He'll talk. They always do when their own skins are in danger. This time, it isn't going to help.
Crime does not pay. Edmund Ryan, who starred as Jimmy Minden in Plug Ugly, will be back with you in just a moment. Now here, in person, is Edmund Ryan.
The story of Jimmy Minden, this young plug ugly who slugged and murdered his way to his own destruction, is compounded of cruelty and waste. Yes, waste, because Jimmy and Bats and Marva and all of them were born as good material for good citizenship. And somewhere along the line, that material was wasted. Perhaps this came about because of the places these young people call their home. Perhaps it was the older people like Jocko Conway. Perhaps these things and more all contributed. But the environment in which they lived could have been made better. The older influences could have been curbed and never permitted access to the young people. Whatever the cause, we, the good citizens, lost as well as the others. We lost in our country, lost potentially useful citizens. It's clear, isn't it, that for us, as certainly as for the criminals, crime does not pay.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Crime Does Not Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Mark B. Loeb, with music composed and conducted by John Gart. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkus. The events, characters, and names used in the story you've just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental. This is Bob Williams speaking. Crime does not pay.
How do you like that? How do you like it?
I don't.
Anything to do about it now?
Maybe we better.
Whatever you say, Jerry. What, when, and where?
I think our young friend and co-worker within the marble halls of Hotel Supreme needs a lesson. A very good lesson.
In the interest of good citizenship and law enforcement, we present Crime Does Not Pay, based on the famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer series of short subjects. In just a moment, you will hear Front Boy, starring Bramwell Fletcher. Now, Crime Does Not Pay, starring Bramwell Fletcher as Jerry Watkins in Front Boy.
It was the kind of hotel, a large hotel, to be found in any good-sized city. In the lobby, the bell captain's desk stood just across from the main desk, providing a vantage point from which Jerry Watkins could supervise the young men of whom he was in command and the comings and goings of all the guests in the building. This was a busy place a short while after train arrival time. New guests lined up to sign the registration cards. The bellboys made innumerable trips to the rooms, laden with luggage, making polite conversation with those who cared to talk to them. Mr. J, the assistant manager, presided over the register and the reservations rank. Jerry presided over his own desk and his boys.
Front boy.
Take him, Stan. Keep your ears open.
I just came down, Jerry.
Take him, I said. He's got sucker written all over him. Get going.
Okay. I'm going. Front boy.
That's you, Bobby.
Why do I always get the dames?
Take what you get. And don't forget the tip goes in the pool.
You won't let me forget.
All right, Bobby. Mrs. Lannett goes to 512 and 13.
Thank you. I'll keep the small case, boy. You take the large bag.
Yes, ma'am.
Type the mink, Jerry?
How can you miss it? Maybe Mrs. Lannett is right for picking.
Could be.
Seen anything else, Hawkshaw?
Well, usual crop this time of year. No conventions this week. One or two of the men look like they might be prospects.
What, boy?
That's yours, Leo. As I said to Stan, keep your ears open, Mort.
And eyes. We haven't had a decent killing in some time. Not that that affects your income.
Well, you can't put all your eggs in one bank book, I always say.
I delivered the character 1604, Jerry. Half a buck.
Well, big spender.
He's got the lonesome look.
Any indication?
Usual, what does one do for fun in this town routine?
Anything more definite?
He wants to be sure. He'll call down for ice water in a few minutes.
Ice water?
Yeah. The ice water's name will be Janice.
512. $1. Here.
Well, not bad, Bobby. You're learning.
Yeah, I'm learning.
That's the dame with the coat, right, Bobby?
So what, Hawkshaw?
So plenty, maybe. What'd she have in the case she carried herself?
How should I know?
Save that for the birds. He can't touch the coat. Too hot to handle. You got a close look at her?
I'm not fingering for anybody.
Oh, how do you suppose our Mr. J would like it if he knew you were in hock to me for 42 smackers?
I only borrowed 35.
And 5 to you gets me 6. That's 42 you owe me. Now come clean. You got any rocks?
Well, she was wearing a bracelet, looked awful good. The case is her jewel case. I think this stuff is real.
That's a good boy. Maybe we'll do some real business the next day or so.
Ah, Mrs. Lannett. You wanted to see me?
I most certainly do, Mr. J.
Please sit down.
Thank you. Mr. J, I've been stopping with you for several years now, each time I come to the city.
And we're happy to welcome you. You know that.
And I've been glad to be here, up to now. Mr. J, a bracelet of mine, 2 pairs of earrings, a necklace, worth all told about $7,000, are missing from my room.
Mrs. Lannett, are you suggesting that...
I did not lose them. I searched my rooms. I'm very much afraid they've been taken.
Just let me buzz for Mr. Benson, Mrs. Lannett. We'll see about it at once. Come in, Benson.
You called me, Mr. J.
Yes, I did, Benson. Mrs. Lannett here reports some jewelry has been stolen from her suite. Get on it, will you?
Why, of course, sir. I'm very sorry to hear this, Mrs. Lannett. You sure you didn't misplace the item?
Very sure.
Mr. J, if I may suggest, will you have the bell captain in right away?
Of course. Ask the bell captain to come to my office at once, please. Perhaps, Mrs. Lannett, if you will give us a description of the pieces. Mr. Benson here is our protection officer, you see?
Yes. Yes, I'll be glad to.
Just let me get my notebook. There we are. Now, ma'am?
Well, the largest piece is a diamond and platinum bracelet. Each link is in the form of a flower with a diamond center. The earrings match the bracelet. Each is a cluster of three tiny flowers. The necklace is gold, flexible, with a ruby sunburst at the center.
Yes, and the value, ma'am?
About $7,000.
Are these pieces insured?
The bracelet is. The other pieces are not.
Oh, that's a shame, Mrs. Lannett. Come in.
You sent for me, Mr. James?
Yes, Watkins. At Benson's suggestion, I did.
Watkins, see here, one of our most valued guests, Mrs. Lannett here, had some jewelry stolen. Now, what about your boys?
Well, you know my boys, Mr. Benson. You screened all of them before they were taken on. Why, they're as honest as the day is long, all of them.
All right, thank you, Watkins. I wanted Mrs. Lannett to hear that from you.
Well, I had no accusations to make.
Well, perhaps not, ma'am, but the first people hotel guests think of when anything's missing are the bellhops and the maids, and I like to clear this up at once. Well,
then you don't think this is an inside job, Benson?
Well, hardly, sir, and the chances are that the pieces are still in Mrs. Lannett's rooms. If you'll permit us to search, Mrs. Lannett?
Go ahead, anytime. I'm going out now, but I'd suggest that you find that jewelry. Or you'll lose a valued guest sentence.
Well, somebody's sore.
Well, that makes two. I'm sore, too. What kind of protection are you giving our guest, Benson?
The best, sir. I'll find that jewelry. The bracelet is too big to miss, I'm sure. The other stuff, well, probably flushed down the drain or something. You know how these things happen.
What makes you think you'll find the bracelet, Mr. Benson?
If we don't, the insurance company may.
May I help search, Mr. James?
You can. Your boys can. Everybody can. Find that jewelry, understand? I will not have this kind of thing going on in this hotel. Period. Exclamation point. Now get at it. Fast.
Oh, it killed me, Mort. It positively killed me to give up that bracelet.
Yes, but there's no sense taking chances on an insurance investigation. Too many other good things might get dumped.
You're not kidding. Phil, Captain.
Jerry. Janice, I don't have much time.
Where are you?
Upstairs. This one's ripe for taking.
So? How come?
He's married. He let it slip a little while ago. I'll be back in a minute. I better hang up. Usual routine?
The usual. Give us an hour.
You got it. See you later.
That was Janice, Mort. A friend is married. Oh, brother.
Well, he ought to pay plenty.
When you flash your badge, Hawkshaw, he'll run for his wallet like a jet plane taking off.
When?
About an hour, Mort. It's quiet now. Let's go get some coffee, huh?
Check.
Steve, take over the desk. I'll be back.
We'd better have another witness, maybe two.
And speaking of the little devils, Dan, Bobby.
Well, we're just going off the floor, Jerry.
You want something, Jerry?
Come over here. In the corner. Now, Mort's pulling a raid. You want 10% apiece?
Count me in. Raid? What kind of raid?
You're a freshman, aren't you? There's a guy with a dame, see? We bust in. Witnesses. He pays. That's all.
Not me.
Why not?
Look, I fingered that jewelry job because I need this job. But I paid you off. I don't owe you anything. And you can't fire me unless I do a bad job because Mr. J won't stand for it.
Better watch your step, Bobby boy.
That's exactly what I am doing, watching my step. Now count me out on this deal and all the others. Count me out, that's all. How do you like that? How do you like it?
I don't.
Anything to do about it now?
Maybe we better.
Whatever you say, Jerry. What, where, and when?
I think our young friend and co-worker within the marble halls of Hotel Supreme needs a lesson. A very good lesson.
Small or large, Jerry?
Large enough so he'll do as he's told from here on in. Say a pair of very dark eyes, a couple of sylvan ribs and a thoroughly black and blue belly. Stan, take the eyes. Mort, you're the ribs department. I'll take care of the midsection myself. I don't wear pointy shoes just because I think they're pretty. They can be useful, too. Now, I know where he lives. We can be there ahead of him in a cab, do the job, and be back here just on time to drop in on Janice and the fella she's keeping company with.
Dark in here.
When the brat comes in, there's enough light out there to see his face.
Quiet, there he is.
Hiya, Bobby.
What do you want here, Jerry?
Are you coming on the raid with us, kid?
I told you. I said no.
That's what I thought you said. Okay, Sam,
Mark. No! Jerry! Stan, I won't talk!
Don't! Don't ever get don't! Shut up, crybaby! You'll learn! You'll learn! Jerry's the force! Now, do it, you fool! Don't! Now it's my turn. Right in the... Oh! That ought to hold him. Let's go, fellas. We got a date in 1604.
In just a moment, Crime Does Not Pay will continue with Front Boy. Now we continue with Crime Does Not Pay, starring Bramwell Fletcher as Jerry Watkins in Front Boy. For a day or two following the beating he received at the hands of Jerry, Stan, and Benson, Bobby Anderson's absence from the lobby of the Hotel Supreme went unnoticed, apparently. However, the assistant manager was aware of the gap in the ranks of Jerry's cohorts. Mr. J waited a day. Perhaps the boy had a cold. He waited another day, then another. On the afternoon of the third day, Mr. J made inquiries.
Watkins.
Yes, sir?
Aren't you missing a boy? Anderson hasn't been here for 3 days. You haven't replaced him.
I'm waiting for a suitable applicant. Also, there's a chance that Anderson may come back.
Yes, of course. Have you made any inquiries at his home, Watkins?
I don't have access to the personnel file, sir, and Anderson never gave me his home address.
I see. Very well. Perhaps I'll look into the matter myself. A nice lad, that Bobby Anderson. Perhaps he needs help. Sickness in the family or something.
Perhaps he needs help. Keep away from that brat if you know what's good for you.
Well, Jerry, though it's true...
What's true?
You got money in the bank. You're talking to yourself.
This is no time for jokes.
Why, something go wrong?
Not yet.
Old man Jay onto something?
If he's not, he's liable to be. If he goes to see what's wrong with Anderson, that is.
Well, he could be followed.
And then what?
Then we'll see what we see. You never know about things like this.
Yeah, you never know.
Who is it?
Mr. J. That you, Bobby?
Yes, sir. You'll have to open the door yourself, sir.
Bobby, what happened to you?
What does it look like, Mr. J?
The cast, the cuts, bandages, auto accident?
Let it go at that.
Why didn't you let the hotel know, son?
I...
I didn't think that was necessary, sir.
Well, we're your employers. Well, there's sick leave at the very least. If you were doing an errand for one of our guests, there might be compensation.
It wasn't an errand.
Was it hotel business, my boy?
No, sir.
Bobby, you're being evasive.
I don't think so, sir.
I do. There's more to this than you're saying.
No, sir. There isn't.
It's strange, you know.
Strange, sir?
Yes, but most of your injuries are in the midsection of your body, to judge from the cast you're wearing. But you have two black eyes as well.
I hit the ground face down.
Who beat you up, Bobby?
Nobody.
Now, don't try to fool me. I've been around. Who beat you up?
Nobody.
Now I know I'm right. Bobby, you've been mixed up in something.
No, sir. No, sir, I have.
Bobby, I've been in the hotel business a long time. Now, don't talk if you don't want to. But if you don't, a lot of nice people are going to be victimized in a lot of ways. And you'll never get free of the men who did this to you. It always works that way, Bobby. Always. Now, I think you'd better speak up.
I know how you feel, sir.
Well, then tell me the truth, Bobby. Tell it to me now.
All right, sir. I will.
Go on.
Well, it started when I needed an extra $5. I borrowed it from Jerry Watkins. I promised to pay him $6 at the end of the week.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Oh, before I knew it, things so nice were built, Captain. Before I knew it, I was in too deep. He threatened to get me fired. So I did what he wanted me to.
Yes?
I told him about Mrs. Lannett's jewel case.
It's beginning to add up. Why did he have you beaten, Bob?
Oh, because he and Stan and Mr. Benson...
What about me, Anderson?
I didn't say nothing. Honest, I didn't
we
say...
We were outside. We heard you. Shut the door, Stan.
Check, Jerry.
What's the meaning of this?
Don't you know Mr. James?
I have a fairly good idea.
Mr. J. They don't care what they do.
That'll quiet you for a while.
What do we do with this other bum, Jerry?
Why, you...
Save it. You're in no position to get sore, and you know it.
You're all dismissed, all of you. And don't even bother to come back to the hotel.
Shut up, Windbag. You bore me.
All right, what are we waiting for?
Not the time, Lord. It's very simple. You see, I want our friend here to understand that what he's about to get is just a sample, see? If he opens his trap to the cops, we'll see to it he doesn't get out of the hospital for months. He'll be through, washed up in the hotel business. Understand that, Jay?
Don't you dare lay a hand on me.
One hand. Two hands. Okay, boys, do him over once like this. Hey, Mort. Pipe the makeup job on Jay's eyes. Not bad.
Yes, I heard the manager asking him about the plaster. He said, I cut myself shaving.
Yeah, he's been quiet, though. These characters have plenty of respect for a good sucking around.
Howdy. My name is Marshall, Dan Marshall. Wired you from home. Lubbock, Texas. Reserved a suite.
Oh, yes, Mr. Marshall. We have it quite right here.
Yes,
but...
No. Yeah, I'm alone. But I need lots of room. Plenty of room down where I come from.
Stan. Stan.
Check, Jerry. I'll get him.
All right, Mr. Marshall.
Here we go, fellas. I think we're in the money.
Jerry, I chased the Marshall character's joint.
Well, what'd you find?
Plenty.
diamond and ruby ring, $3,000, or I don't know our business. A wallet that'd choke a horse.
Oh, so far, so good.
He's oil or cattle or something.
He's from Texas, isn't he?
And he gave me the come on.
Oh, lonesome, is he?
Wants to meet some nice Yankee girl.
Well, we'll be happy to oblige. What'd you set up with him?
Nothing undercover about this gent. He wants what he wants, and he's willing to pay for it.
They always do until they find out how much they have to pay us. It's down the hatch, honey.
How can you drink that stuff straight like that?
I was weaned on bourbon, honey. 100 proof.
Mr. Marshall, they sure grow men in Texas.
And the women are glad of it.
They grow corn, too, don't they?
Hey, tall as a skyscraper, honey. Tall as a skyscraper.
What time is it, Mr. Marshall?
Now, the name's Dan, baby. It's just past 12. Why?
Wondering.
Oh, am I boring you, honey? No gentleman would ever do that. What's that this time of night?
Maybe I'd better go in the other room.
Open up, please. Mouth protection
officer. What? Where of all the colossal gulls?
I'd better,
Stay right where you are, sister. You too, Mr. Marshall.
I'll report you to the management for this.
This, young lady registered here? With you, Mr. Marshall?
No, not exactly.
Watkins, Peters.
Here I am, Mr. Benson.
Yes, Mr. Benson.
You heard this gentleman admit that this young woman isn't registered here?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Well, there you have it, Marshall. Open and shut, and under the laws of this state.
Now, see here. I don't want no trouble.
Nor do we, Mr. Marshall.
Well, then, perhaps we can come to some arrangement.
Well, Mr. Benson is an honorable man.
But I'll include him, too. And the young fellow here. As well as the young lady.
Nice and minute, boy.
I think I've been around enough to know a shakedown when I see one. We've 500, cover it.
Well, it's rather difficult to divide 500 by 4. I think 1,000 would be better.
You drive a hard bargain, mister.
Not as hard as the one your wife will drive with you.
How do I know you'll keep quiet?
You'll have to take your chances on that. Won't he, boys?
That's right.
You said it.
Well, you got me. Here's your 1,000.
Thank you, sir.
And now, you'll be good enough to put the money on that table. It's marked anyway, and I'd love to use this .38 police special on you.
Hey, what's the fit?
Shut up, the lot of you.
It's your word against ours. You can't frame us like this.
Save it, fellas. All right, Bobby, come in.
We heard you, Mr. Marshall, on the loudspeaker. And the other detectives recorded the whole conversation.
You can't prove anything on me. I never said a word.
So you talk, you miserable...
Don't touch him, Watkins. You'll have to answer for his injuries as it is.
Yes, he talked, and Jay came to us. Jay's been in the hotel business too long to stand for your kind of racket. Now, line up against that wall, all of you, while we wait for the wagon.
Crime does not pay. Bramwell Fletcher, who starred as Jerry Watkins in Front Boy, will be back with you in just a moment. Now here, in person, is Bramwell Fletcher.
It's fairly obvious, I think, that men like Jerry Watkins could not operate their vicious rackets without help.
the help of unscrupulous people like Jerry's pals, Mort and Stan. But, more important, the help of the people on whom Jerry fastened his talons. Without the help of so-called suckers, this kind of evil cannot exist. And the suckers are men and women who are either careless or who are violating the moral code themselves. In the end, these people become the cause of these rackets as well as the victims. And, of course, for them as well as for the criminals involved with them, crime does not pay.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher. Crime Does Not Pay is written by Ira Marion and directed by Mark B. Loeb, with music composed and conducted by John Gart. Technical advisor is Burton B. Turkis. The events, characters, and names used in the story you have just heard are fictitious. Any similarity is purely coincidental. This is Bob Williams speaking.